So first point, I'll start off with something relatively simple and straightforward. My first aphoristic point, reduce input. No, there's nothing to do with, you know, computers. Huh? I don't know anything about computers. Reduce input. I mean, it often strikes me that we're subject to an enormous input through our senses and through our mind. Huh? So much impinges on us. I mean, every day, even every hour. Just first of all, people impinge on us. Not just the people with whom we're in close contact, but people whom we just pass in the street, people whom we see on the tube, people we see in casual ways. They all do have an effect on us. We're not altogether unaware of their existence or even of their mental state. You can sit in the tube, for instance, and you can become very aware of the fact that the people sitting next to you and near you and in the same carriage are in all sorts of sometimes quite strange mental states. I mean, I see people talking to themselves or nodding their heads like this. I see people in a sort of stupor. I see people very tired after the day's work, or even very tired before the day's work begins. So one is very aware of people. People are having an effect on one. There's input from people all the time. And then there's traffic, especially if you live in London. My little flat at Sukhavati in Bethnal Green is relatively quiet. But I do hear sounds. I hear the sounds of the traffic. I can see, you know, through my the window of my study, I can see planes coming and going every few minutes. I can hear sirens, I can hear police sirens, I can hear the ambulance sirens, I can hear the fire engine sirens, I can hear breakages and all sorts of things. And in the distance sometimes I can hear people drilling and I can hear people shouting slogans. It's all not very loud. When one goes outside, of course, it does become very much louder, especially if one goes right into the heart of the city. So the sound of traffic is impinging on us all the time. And then there's the radio. Eh? We often have the radio on. The TV. Lots of people listen to TV. Some people, when they go home, they tell me, they find that their parents have TV on all the time. Someone told me recently that, I think, I'm not sure whether it was he or she, but when they went home, their parents had both the TV and the radio on all day, all the time. And then, of course, there's our own reading matter. We sometimes pick up the newspaper. Some of us are regular newspaper readers. So facts from the newspapers impinge on us all the time. So we're being impinged on in this way, and very often we're not conscious of it. It registers subliminally, and it does affect us all the time. And I think probably we don't realize the great effect that it has on us. So the point that I'm making first is reduce input. And we may not, of course, be able to shut out all the input much of the time, but we have to be more selective. We have to be very careful what we let in, because so much of what usually gets in has a negative rather than a positive effect on us. And I'm especially thinking of things like not so much radio, but perhaps more TV and more reading matter, and even the sort of contact that we have with our friends. We must make a definite effort to, as it were, be more selective about our input. On the radio, on the TV, you can tune into different channels. So we should apply that sort of principle to everything that we're receiving. We're a sort of receiving station all the time. But we don't have to allow all these different outside factors and influences to play on us all the time without any sort of control or restriction. So reduce input, be more selective, and try to make sure that the factors, the influences that are impinging on you are positive rather than negative. And of course, one of the best ways in which we can do this from time to time is by going on solitary retreat. When we go on solitary retreat, we reduce input drastically. So when we go on solitary retreat, be very careful that we don't take too many things away with us. Not too many books, preferably Dharma books. And don't go away to a retreat cottage or whatever it is where you might find a TV set or even a radio. Be very careful about that, because these things are very tempting, very seductive. And I did read somewhere some time ago about an older member who went on retreat, and he wrote to me, I think it was, and he said, well, yes, when I was on my solitary retreat, I didn't listen to too much TV. Yeah? I didn't watch too much TV, because there was a TV set. And he seemed to think it, not an unusual or unacceptable thing to spend at least an hour or two every day, or 2 or 3 hours a day, just, watching TV. Maybe for him it did represent, a reduction of input, even a drastic reduction of input. But really, when one goes on solitary retreat, one should try to reduce one's input much, much, much more than that. Have no contact with people, no contact with the outside world at all, as far as is possible. Of course, we do have a sort of daily solitary retreat, don't we? And that's when we meditate. Because when you meditate, well, almost the first thing you do is to reduce input. One of the reasons why we close our eyes when we meditate is to reduce input. We try to meditate in a quiet place to reduce input. Because unless you've reduced input drastically, you can hardly meditate. And things that impinge upon us mainly from the outside world. And if you want to meditate, well, first of all, you cut out what impinges on you from the outside world. You reduce the external input. Then you become more aware of the internal input in the form of all sorts of wandering thoughts and fancies and ideas and reflections and worries and anxieties. And then, of course, you reduce them. And it's only when you've done that you can really start meditating. And it's only then that you have contact with any deeper or higher levels within yourself. I think the artist has to do the same thing. I certainly know that the writer has to do the same thing. Writing in some ways is not all that different from meditating, because what does one do when one starts to write? At least what do I do? Well, first thing I do is clear my desk relatively. Put all the unanswered letters on this side, all the unanswered queries that aren't letters on that side, have at least a space, and forget about everything for a few hours, and just concentrate on what I'm writing, or trying to write, and then there's some possibility of some creative impulse emerging. But you must reduce your input. So this is my first point, a relatively simple, relatively straightforward one, not always very easy in practice. So reduce input.